Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Good morning, St. Mark's family. Morning, morning. Oh, you're bright and cheery. Can I first of all apologize that I have gotten rid of a dose and I've been left with a really dry throat. So if I keep having to stop and sip, I am sorry. We got some good stuff to get through today. So I'm going to get stuck straight in. I'll be speaking a lot, but hopefully there's some good learning for all of us. When you're prepping for a word and you know you've been really challenged by it as well, you always think, oh, like, this is good. This is good because this is a challenge for all of our hearts, including mine. So selfless service, as Emma said, is what I'm going to be talking about today. And we know we're in the current series of selfless, selfless. And we've had some great teaching over the last couple of weeks. Where we've been reminded that our selflessness requires strength. It requires an inner strength to deny ourselves and what our human nature wants, what the flesh wants. Because in the natural, we know that we can often have a me mentality. And it's the idea of, and there'll be a slide for that, they're selfish versus selfless. It's the big capital I in selfish. I need, I want, I must have, me, versus selfless, which is less of me, less about me, just less about me. So today's theme being selfless service is about our service, obviously. Now, I think this is across the board service of many descriptions, not just, oh, it's only relevant to people who serve in church in some way, shape, or form. So they can listen, but I don't currently volunteer for anything, so I can switch off. Back in college, it was you pull your baseball cap down and hope they can't see that you're asleep. And I don't want any baseball caps being tipped down today. We've all got something we can get from this. So the passage of scripture that I've been asked to read today is the story of Rebecca at the well in Genesis 24. Before we read it, just to cover what had been happening right before this passage, Abraham was very old and he wanted a wife for his son Isaac. So he makes his senior servant promise to go and find a wife for Isaac, his son, from his home country amongst his relatives. So that being because God had said, you believe in me, you and your clan and your people, you believe in me, you worship me. So within that clan, find a wife for your sons or a daughter or a husband for your daughters from amongst people who worship me and believe in me rather than from somewhere else where they worship idols and your child gets sucked into a different way and ignores God. So Abraham is following God's example and his teaching and saying, I have to get a wife for my son Isaac from my home country. He doesn't live there anymore. Remember, Abraham came out of where he was from and is far, far away now. So he sends this servant back, his senior servant, go and find a wife for my son Isaac from my people. So he sets off on that journey and we'll read from the point of his arrival outside the town, which is in verse 11. Scriptures will be up here, or if it's a bit small, you can pull up your Bible app or your physical Bible, even better. Here we go. He had the camels, this is the servant, he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. That's the end of our scripture passage. So after this, then, the servant goes and meets Rebecca's family. He explains who he is, who sent him here, why he's come. He lavishes this big show of wealth on Rebecca, lots of gold jewelry, very nice. And he tells her father and tells the whole family the miracle of what he had prayed, which came true at the well. And on the surface, this story is literally just about getting a wife for Isaac and the miracle of the servant's prayer being answered exactly to the letter. So that's what we know about that story. But I'd like to stop and dig a bit deeper and look at the details, because the details reveal so much more to us. Now, prior to preparing for this message, I did not know this. I knew that camels could go a long time without water. I think we all know that, right? Camels can go a long time without water, and they cope because they have to do big desert crossings. And when they drink, you can imagine they have a good drink. Here's the fact. A typical camel can drink 200 liters of water in 3 minutes. 200 liters of water in 3 minutes. So this girl was a desert dweller, Rebecca. She wasn't unaware. She knew how camels drink. And prior to where I started reading in that scripture there, the Bible tells us that this servant took 10 of Abraham's camels, loaded up with gifts and supplies, etc. The journey they took wasn't just down the street. They journeyed for 600 miles to find this girl. Those camels were thirsty. 10 camels, after that journey, that can drink 200 liters each, easy maths, and I'm not good at maths, 2,000 liters of water to be served up to those camels. That's like filling up 2 6-man hot tubs with a jar. This job would have taken her hours and hours and hours, up and down and up and down and up and down and up to the well, nonstop, to fill up enough for all those camels. That's insane. Whenever I previously read that passage, right, I have to admit, and I'm going to be very honest with you today, this passage, I'll have to admit that I thought, lazy so-and-so. Like, I'd have gone, no problem. You need a drink. Absolutely. I have no issue serving you a drink. There you go. And your friends can have a drink. Now, your camels need water. You can borrow my jar and look after your animals. Drop it back when you're finished. I know what's coming next with those camels, and I want no part of that. This girl, like, this has really made me realize, getting into this, what Rebecca offered to do has made my jaw drop. She knew exactly what was needed. She knew this was a crazy big job. Talk about a selfless service and a servant heart to have done that. So she was a woman in Old Testament Bible times. She would have had so much housework to do. There would have been such a level of domestic expectation on her anyway. Things would have been busy, but she offered to do an absolutely mammoth task that she knew what she was getting into for a total stranger. Wow. Wow. And this act of service, being the answer to Abraham's servant's prayer, led to her marrying Isaac, giving birth to Jacob, which meant then she had a crucial role to play as the mother of the tribes of Israel. Imagine having that servant heart, though. And I'm reminded then, when I really thought about what level of selfless service Rebecca showed, it reminded me of the story of the widow of Zarephath, Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. So I'm sure you'll remember the story. We'll refresh. 1 Kings 17, 7 to 16. This is the story of the widow at Zarephath. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, And bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. Make that bread. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. That's it, run out. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. That's another example of absolutely selfless service, isn't it? And I'm going to be honest again, this whole word is a Holy Spirit prompt to me as much as I hope it will be to your hearts. But whenever I've read that, I just think, wouldn't have been my response. I would have genuinely been like, look, mate, I'm really sorry. I've got nothing to give you. Literally, I'm going to make this roll. Me and my kid are going to eat it and die. I'm sorry, you're going to have to look after yourself. I have nothing for you. And let's be honest, that's not an unreasonable response. She would have been well within reason to have responded like that. But look at the blessings that came from that act of selfless service, an unlimited overflowing jar that never ran out and not going hungry again, not one time during the rest of that whole famine. These wild acts of selflessness that led to miraculous blessings. Same as Rebecca, because Rebecca married into a very, very wealthy family then and had a blessed life. So these selfless acts leading to miraculous blessings that we get to see. But here's the big but. As much as I've said that these selfless acts led to blessings, we are not to perform selfless service for blessings. Right? That's not supposed to be our heart attitude. Okay, I'll do this big act then because I want, I need, I might get. What might I get from it? What might my reward be? I'm going to do the selfless service so I can receive some blessings and rewards. That's not the mentality that we're supposed to have. Mother Teresa used to have a business card, can you believe it? A business card that she'd give out. And it didn't have an email address or a phone number, unsurprisingly, but just a reminder. And on the business card, this is what was written. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. God bless you, Mother Teresa. There's so much in that, isn't there? The fruit of your silence, what grows out of your silence in God's presence is prayer. The fruit of prayer, what grows out of your prayer is faith. What grows out of faith is love. And the fruit of love, what grows from your love is service to others. Then the benefit, the fruit of your service is peace. So what does service look like? You notice that Mother Teresa's card says the fruit of service is peace because she didn't serve in Kolkata to receive payment, riches, favors, make a good impression. She didn't serve so selflessly to get something back from the poor and the leprous who had nothing to give her back. The fruit of service is peace. That's what she got in her heart. From her massive selfless service, peace, the peace of God. We can really learn something from that. What grows out of our selfless service to others is peace. How many of us know people who really need peace? How many of us know people who have no peace? This world is crying out for peace. There's so many people that are full of anxiety and don't have peace. This is something we need. So my next point is, service is a mindset and a heart attitude. It's not just physically doing a job for someone when they need it. It's not just pouring them a drink like Rebecca did. It's It's not just making somebody a dinner or giving your time and your energy to serving in various ways in the church, but it's the unseen heart attitude that the Father sees. Because our acts of service could be anywhere, couldn't they? Our acts of service could be in our friendships, in our marriage, in our family, in the church, in work. Acts of service can happen absolutely anywhere. The unseen heart attitude is the bigger thing. Not just, well, I did this. Look at me, I'm great. I did this job and I serve. What's the heart attitude? Because we can easily serve without the right heart attitude, can't we? Yeah, we can serve without a spirit of selfless service. Oh, I suppose I've got to do this now that I offered. Oh, wish I never said I'd do this. Yeah, here I am. I'm doing it now. I'm serving. Oh, can't be bothered. Wish I never said I'd do it. Yeah, you're serving, but is it a selfless service? It's not. It's not selfless service. We can serve and be whinging about it to other people and be whinging in our own little internal monologue. And that's not selfless service, even if we are serving. On the other hand, we can serve without anybody knowing. That little scripture, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, which is obviously impossible, but you get the idea of what it's aiming for. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Better again is the stuff you do that nobody knows you did it. If you're thanked for it, you've been paid already, you've received your crown. Did you do it to look good? Did you do it to look Christian? To be seen to be kind? Or did you do it in a way that you hope nobody would find out? You know your own heart. And guess what? The Lord knows it even better. So we can monitor our own hearts and see, why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I want thanks and praise and want people to go, what a great character you are doing that? Or am I doing this going, hope no one knows I did this? I just want to do this to be selfless and serve. And I'm not looking for me, I want praise, I want thanks. A little exercise in how we can do something like this is so small. Something like this, slices of cake that have been cut up, right? And they're being served. And you're the one that's serving the slices of cake. But you see that one's bigger than all the rest. And you think to yourself, oh, I'll have the biggest slice. Nobody will know. I'll serve out all the other slices first. I'll save the last one for me. What if you forced yourself to give that one that you had your eye on to someone else? It's such a small thing. Nobody even knows. It doesn't really matter if you get the biggest slice, does it? And there's the element of, well, I'm serving everyone else, so maybe it's my payment to be able to get the biggest slice. But it's this, what if you practice denying yourself that little thing that you wanted and you decided to serve it on someone else? It's so minor, but it's you practicing flexing this little muscle, this muscle of secret selfless service. I'm going to give up the opportunity to have that bigger slice. And nobody knows I've given up the opportunity. Nobody even knows there was one bigger than all the rest. But I'm going to deny myself because it's tiny. And the Lord saw my heart. And he knows that I said, no, no. I'm going to be a little secret selfless service agent. Or you're making tea for everybody, let's say. And you make a load of tea and you think, I'll make mine last. It's so small. What order you made the tea in, but you know in your own heart, and the Lord knows your heart. So we're practicing working the muscle of selfless service to get us ready for when we need to dig deep for the big acts of selfless service. Because you can imagine, if you have not been practicing any acts of little selfless service ever, and all of a sudden there's an expectation or a request on you to have a big act of selfless service, that is hard. Oh, that's hard. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. But let's say you've been practicing that heart attitude in the tiny things, and you've been flexing that muscle, and it's been getting stronger, and you're getting used to going, yeah, I'm going to put me second, and I'm going to have a heart of selflessness for others and serve others. Because you've been flexing that little muscle, and it's been getting stronger, when you need to do the big, oh, this is a huge job, I got to fill two hot tubs with a jar for a bunch of camels. You've been flexing that muscle already, and it's not so weird for you to be in the mindset of selfless service then. So let's go back to that scripture because it's a good one. Matthew 6, 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And I know that example was talking about giving money, but I do think it resounds beyond that, because it starts by saying, be careful not to practice your righteousness. There's lots of types of expressions of our righteousness, right? The next section goes on to include praying. When you're praying, be careful. So be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness. This is a lesson in how we display our acts of righteousness, and we can include in this our giving in service, not just giving money. Now, sometimes our acts of service cannot help but be public. Everybody knew what Mother Teresa was doing in Kolkata. Everybody knows what the Christmas hamper crew are doing over in the flats pre-Christmas. Everyone knows that you're serving in the welcome team or the pastoral care team because you've got a special t-shirt on, because you need it. People need to see who you are to find you. Everyone knows that you're serving in the worship team because they can see you right here, and that's okay. We're not going to start putting paper bags over the heads of the worship team so you can't see who's serving you. Oftentimes, we can't help but be seen in our acts of service, and that's okay. That's okay. We're talking about the heart of service. Can it be done unseen? These ones, can it be done unseen? If so, great. Great. Are you someone that brings boxes of donuts into your workplace? If you are, God bless you. Can I say you are loved? There is not one person in your workplace that doesn't like you. If you're that person, fair play. But can you do it without being seen? Can you drop it into the tea room without anybody knowing it was you? No one's going to thank you or tell you you're great or even think you're wonderful. Oh, am I still going to do it? Am I still going to do it? Yeah, that's selfless service. I'm going to do it because it's going to bring everybody joy, and I'm not going to do it so that people think I'm amazing or tell me I'm great. Ooh, yeah, there's a different vibe to that. A thankless job, that's the best one. That scripture said, if you've received thanks and praise for it, you've been paid. If it's thankless, wait for the blessing. Actively avoid trying to get praise for it. This is what it's telling us. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That's the selfless way to do it. Less about me and what I get out of this. Versus, I did this for you. It puts the I, me into your service. Your Father, love that bit in that scripture. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That sounds so good, doesn't it? A little secret spy mission with a reward from my Heavenly Father at the end. Because let's face it, what kind of rewards are people going to give us? They're going to give us a thank you. Ah, that was nice. Aren't you great? Okay, that feels nice. But do you think your Heavenly Father has even better rewards than that? I do. I think our Heavenly Father has massive rewards for us, maybe like something we've been praying and praying about, and we're not getting that thing, we're not getting that answer, or the thing that we feel we really need, and it's just the prayer that's not being answered. He has the ability to do those things. That sounds like a pretty good blessing, more than thank you, fair play, great stuff, well done, thanks for doing that. Yeah, it's nice to hear it, but is that what we're going to keep looking for? Your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Yes, please. Ephesians 6, verses 7 to 8 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. I love the idea that, yeah, serve wholeheartedly, not, oh, I suppose I have to, with gusto. I'm going to do this. I'm happy to do it. And don't do it as if you're doing it for that person. Maybe you've got to go and serve something to someone who's horrible to you. deep down, you can't stand them. And you're like, oh. And I know when I give this to them, they're not even going to say thank you. They're not even going to look up. Maybe it's in work. You know, I'm going to get not even a thanks out of that person. But when you're doing the serving, you serve as if you're giving that to Jesus. I'm doing this for you, Lord. And I'm not doing it because I want something back out of it. I'm doing it because I serve as if I was serving you in person. That's a great reminder when it's hard to serve and we think, I don't really want to. Here's Ephesians telling us, do it with gusto as if you're doing it for Jesus himself, because the Lord will reward you. And we know it says, everything that's done in secret, your Father's going to reward you. Amen. So let's learn from what Jesus taught us about the servant heart. We don't have a huge amount left to go. Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is reminding us in that passage to seek to be the person of lowest importance. And not just that, be the person who serves. Your servant must be your servant, must be your slave. And he reminds us that he is our example, that he came to serve and not to be served. And here's our big example, and you know it's coming, the famous scene of washing the disciples' feet. Let's have a look at it again and remind ourselves. John 13, 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Then Judas Iscariot's betrayal spoken about, but we're going to keep going to 12, verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Could I ask the worship team to come back and join me, please, while we finish this last point? Thank you, guys. Jesus basically said at the end there, if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you. No servant is greater than his master. We are not greater than Jesus. Amen. So if he can behave like a servant and show an act of selfless service, so certainly can we. The foot washing of guests was traditionally done in Bible times by a servant or a slave. So the disciples were horrified at Jesus getting up and doing it because it was so, so far beneath him, beneath his status. Except Jesus said it wasn't. Jesus was basically telling us, don't think you're all that. I don't even think I'm all that. He said, you should also wash one another's feet. He didn't literally mean start scrubbing your brother or sister in Christ's feet the minute you arrive in church on Sunday. Praise God for that. He meant, you should all act like a servant or a slave with one another, making it all about them, serving them, helping them, not about yourself or about thinking you're something special or important. That's beneath me. Someone else should do that. Lord, help us learn. I want to go back over verses 3 and 4 briefly because I think there's something really important in there in what we've just read. So it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. The Almighty, creator of the universe, had put all things under the power of Jesus, and he knew it. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that he was returning to God Almighty. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped the towel around his waist, went washing their feet. It's that "so" that jumps out to me really strongly. Jesus knew he was the Son of God, his importance. He knew the power he had, that heaven was his home where he was returning to. So what? So he lay back and enjoyed being waited on? So he expected to be treated like a king, like a prince? No. So he stripped down, wrapped a towel around himself, and took the servant's job. Took the most menial, gross, disgusting task in the room, dirty, sweaty, smelly feet. And he said, this is the stuff you do. Put aside arrogance. Don't think you're better than anyone. Take the jobs nobody wants. Do it gladly. Serve one another. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Lord, give us a heart of selfless service. Can we stand to pray? Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your prompts to me. I hope other people get a prompt too, because at the end of the day, we all want to be more like you. We all want to follow your example. We want to be Christ-like. And you have given us a massive example of serving selflessly. Make us more like you. Help us to really switch on the mindset and the heart attitude of selfless service around us everywhere we go, whether it's in our relationships and families, our workplace, our church family, in serving in church, whatever it looks like. Can we remember what your word teaches us and tells us to be more like you? Nothing is beneath me. Is anyone greater than the master? Are we greater than you, Jesus? No, we're not. And you've given us an example to selflessly serve others and make things more about them. Selfless as we serve. Serving like we're doing it for you and only you. And not selfish with it. I need, I want. What about me? Me, I need thanks. Lord, remind me to stop looking for thanks and praise for the things that I do. Remind us all to serve as if we're serving you personally and to have the right heart attitude and the right mindset as we serve. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.